short story on the planet Venus, just to get us almost down to Earth. That's what Venus looks like if you're an infrared astronomer. It doesn't go black on the night side because the cloud tops here are at a temperature around about minus 30, minus 40 centigrade. And that glows in the infrared. Infrared detects heat. So this is the sunlit bit, that's the night side. That heat is coming out at rather longish infrared wavelengths. I haven't spoken much about infrared wavelengths, but there's a range of them. When you come a bit shorter, you find sunlit side, dark side, and the dark side isn't uniform dark at all, it's all blotchy. That was a discovery I made in 1980-something or other. It's a while ago. And this took everybody by surprise because nobody believed you could see anything on the dark side of Venus. What we now understand is that all the bright stuff here is radiation that's coming from about 20 kilometers up from the surface. It's very hot down there. I don't know if you've ever considered taking your summer holidays on Venus. I don't recommend it. The atmosphere is pure carbon dioxide. You have to get through the sulfuric acid clouds to get there. When you get down to the surface, the atmospheric pressure is like being a kilometer underwater. And the temperature is considerably hotter than a bread oven. Okay, so it's not a very friendly place. As you get down towards the surface, the heat, just the atmosphere is so hot that it's radiating in the infrared, and that's trying to come out. But it doesn't get out because there's patches of obscuration. And these are some of the sulfuric acid clouds, which the spacecraft had found, but the spacecraft people thought these were all absolutely uniform all across the planet, because they only did a few spot samples where the spacecraft plummeted through. They're not. They're all broken and patterned. And they change from day to day. This is a false colour picture, which I think makes more dramatic the fact that from one day to the next, you get dramatic changes like this. And there's a case where if a couple of spacecraft had gone in, they'd have said, oh, it's pretty uniformly mucky here. Okay, this is all old hat. The new stuff was that we started going to even shorter infrared wavelengths, in fact, getting jolly close to the visible. Anybody who's seen the ashen light might like to pick up their ears now. This is radiation, for those of you technically minded, 1.27 microns, air glow due to oxygen molecules. I just told you that Venus was made of carbon dioxide, the atmosphere. What actually happens is that over on the daylit side here, the carbon dioxide dissociates. It breaks up into oxygen and carbon monoxide. There's also a huge circulation cell. It's jolly hot on the sunlit side. It rises, flows right around the planet, and then subsides again on the backside. Where it subsides, the oxygen combines to make molecules and gives out this glow. This is very much like an aurora. It's just like terrestrial aurorae. It varies. These two are 4 hours apart, and you see it's a lot brighter here than there, and that's the next day, and it's gone away. So it's like an aurora. It's changing on an hour-by-hour timescale. But it's not an aurora because Venus doesn't have a magnetic field. If it did, you know, you'd expect it up around the poles where the Earth has its aurorae. So it's something like it, but it's caused by this oxygen pouring in. This has given us a chance to study the atmosphere at a different altitude, 90 kilometers up, which people again didn't realize could be done from the ground. We're actually opening up the atmosphere of Venus, as all the books tell you can't observe from the ground. How about this one? Here, we're going to an even shorter wavelength. We're getting right down very close to visible. The patterns of the clouds have virtually disappeared. There's no air glow emission up here, you've just got planet. And look, there's a blue patch. Why? That's the surface of Venus. They tell you you can't see the surface of Venus. They tell you it's got this great opaque mass of cloud over it. It ain't true. The atmosphere is transparent at these wavelengths. It's transparent in the visible. It's transparent in the early part of the infrared. If somebody went to Venus and lit up Los Angeles, we'd see it on the night side. Just nobody has, so it looks dark. But at this wavelength, we are just able to see the heat coming from the surface. There's a lot of elevation differences on Venus. Got high plateaus and it's got low what would be ocean floors if it had an ocean. It's hot down on the ocean floors and it's cooler up on the plateaus. gets cooler by 8 degrees centigrade every kilometre you go up. This is Beta Regio, which stands 4 or 5 kilometres higher than the plains around it. It's therefore 30 or 40 degrees cooler. When you make it cooler, it gives off less infrared radiation. It basically appears blue, cold. So we can actually see the surface of Venus. Okay, so what? We're not going to map it in the way that Magellan has mapped it. We can't show you all the volcanic rills and all of this fancy stuff. But there's actually an awful lot of science you can do with this. Just as a couple of examples, people are trying to understand the greenhouse mechanism that's making it so hot. The carbon dioxide on its own doesn't explain it. They need to invoke water vapor. Water vapor absorbs at wavelengths around here. We can tell them from this there ain't much water vapor there. We can even tell them how much water vapor there is between 4 kilometers up and the mean surface, just by looking at the difference between those. Observations we haven't yet got good figures on, but we know how to do it now as a result of this discovery. Sulfur dioxide is another one that absorbs around here. If a volcano erupted and produced a cloud of sulfur dioxide, we'd see a great big absorption streak from it. In fact, if a volcano erupted, we'd see it. If you had a volcanic eruption there, it would be a very bright infrared source. So there are things you can learn. From this, we're going to improve our understanding of Venus a great deal. I think in some ways, this is the discovery, all of this Venus stuff that I've discovered is probably the most gratifying of the things I've worked on, because Venus is in some ways rather like the Earth. Same size, similar sorts of atmospheric effects, but it doesn't have water vapor. It doesn't have oceans, it doesn't have clouds, it doesn't rain. What makes weather forecasting so terribly difficult on Earth is water. You know the effect of just having a few clouds coming across, how it changes the temperature. If it rains, everything's different. On Venus, where we don't have those problems, we can develop computer models that will explain what's going on much better. Once we've got them right for Venus, then we have a basis to attack the Earth's atmosphere. We can start adding in the water and really see what the effect is. And it may be that 20 or 30 years downstream, terrestrial weather forecasting will be a great deal better because of this work on Venus. And if that's the case, I'll be very pleased. And I think I've talked for plenty long enough, so I'll stop.